try to have the children's church kids stay in for the service this morning. It's going to be a lot of change with each of the speakers, and we want to give them the opportunity to hear about the trip. So we just definitely want to encourage you, don't send your kids out because there's no one out there to take them. A few weeks ago when the team came back from the Dominican, a few of them, Pastor Steve and a few of the others, expressed a desire to share and give testimony of what God had done on the trip. I preach in series, and we were already kind of planned, mapped out, and when we looked at the weeks, though, we really felt this was a perfect fit this morning. It's one thing to talk about being the light of the world. It's another thing to hear about how some of our folks went out and were the light of the world. And so today, we're going to be continuing in our series with identity and what it means to be God's child, what it means to really have our identity formed in Christ and be shaped by Him so that God can use us. But today, our focus, we've looked at the fact that we're forgiven, and letting that permeate our life and live in that truth. Last week, we focused on the simple and yet powerful truth that God has adopted us as His own, and that we have the privilege of walking as God's child. And I don't think we can ever overlook how significant that is. But today, we're going to focus on that truth that Jesus not only said that He was the light of the world, but He also looked at the disciples and said, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." And if our identity is formed by Christ, what does it mean for us to be the light of the world? Matthew 5, 13 through 16 is the text we're going to look at. And we're going to come back to this after the team gives their report. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In January, we had a group of seven that went to the Dominican Republic, and we send folks every year. And so you might even hear, as you hear the report this year, God may speak to you about the possibility of going next year as well. We are hoping to have the date set, which week that we're going to go as a team by the end of August, September. But you can even plan now for one of those 4 weeks in January that are available. But if God speaks to you about that, let myself know, let Pastor Steve or Dallas McHenry or any of the team members that are here today know of your interest. But we just want to welcome the team to come up and share just a little bit about what God did in the trip to the Dominican Republic this year.
Right, I guess Jeff's first. Here you go.
Huh? First of all, I've had a cold all week, and I didn't even remember. I wasn't going to do this, but here I am. I forgot my shirt. It's okay. About the Dominican and going on a missions trip in itself, I wrote down a few high spots, but there's a few things that I guess the thought that comes to mind right off the bat is when he's talking about being the light of the world. Pastor was talking about that this morning. If you listen and you answer the call, you better be ready. You're going to be ready for many blessings, and you're going to be ready for many tests and trials. And I think we found that out. The blessings, of course, we saw, as you saw in the video, some baptisms, some people getting saved. It's a wonderful experience. You'll never... It won't happen again, so you got to be there to see it, right? But be ready for the tests also. I don't know if you've heard that the day we got back, our 2 feet of snow and 20 below, right, after 100 degrees or thereabouts over there, what's the first thing that happens? One of the trucks that's going to bring us home won't start or won't run. didn't want to run. We forced it. We got home. Clay was like, nope, we're going. Okay. High spots. I can't stand back here. I really argued with myself about this trip almost as much as I did the first time. This was my 11th trip, I believe. And as to why I should go, whether it was personal reasons, you know, I kept going back and forth. Well, it's going to cost this. Okay, I can afford it. You know, well, I have to take time off. Well, that's okay. I was arguing. I've been there. What else is there to see? Well, I found out, again, as I did the first time, that you don't argue with God. He's very persistent. He constantly is on you. He wouldn't let it get out of my mind, regardless of where I was at, whether it was a television show or here in church or talking to anyone. Are you going? Or there was another reason. Why not? So persistently, I went. And those of us who have gone, if we all know Jim McDonald. There are several others here that have been there. And his first word was, hey, the prodigal son. okay. So, you either lost and found or gone and back again. I'll take the gone and back again because I don't think I was lost. But it reaffirmed the fact that I should have been there. We got to see Danielle, and she came back with us. Now, that was kind of a blessing also. About Danielle's circumstances. She needed us there. And we were glad we were there and glad that she was able to come back with us. I had a time of being reacquainted with old friends and meeting some new friends. There was a Haitian fellow there by the name of Agnel. He's a very hard worker, very religious in his beliefs. He's on his knees before any of us in the morning. His desire is to get out of there, and God hasn't allowed him to get out of Haiti, but he is given the opportunity to come over to the Dominican, and he's treated quite well by the people in the organization. He's earned that respect. He is, like I said, a very strong Christian and a good friend. I met a new friend, by the name of Tom. Tom was making these bracelets out of parachute cord the whole time that he was there and giving them away. Tom is on the edge. He'd like to believe. He doesn't want to put his full faith in God. He's had a lot of his own, I'll do it myself. I can do it myself. I've done it for myself attitude. And he doesn't want to give up. And tried to make it an effort to tell him, you don't give up to give in to God. You allow him to control your life, But the bracelet, as I told him, is my reminder to pray for him. we did get a chance to see pastor's pigs, and we got Bryce with those. Where's Bryce? Behind me. I thought he was going to jump on that one in that photo. That was pretty good. A lot of things you see there that you have to go to experience, like Kibbe's laugh. You know where Jim Kibbe is. All you have to do is listen. He's laughing, and it's a belly laugh that is un... Hard rock, come on. It's real. We'll put it that way. There's no faking in that. It comes from the bottom up. And not only that, but he's going to retire in, a couple of weeks, so that probably helped. But what else do you see there? I was looking at my pictures this morning. I didn't even, to tell you how good I am, I didn't give a chance to get them up there. But skinny dogs and skinny people. Yeah. The nutrition there is unbelievable. You in the villages that we visit, the Haitian villages, there's not a whole lot of extra. Right? At $6 a day and then paying the rent, if you will, on those houses that you saw pictures of, they don't leave a whole lot for extra. Do they need us there, People ask, why do you go over there? Well, there's so much that is needed here in the States. Do the people in the States, you know, either appreciate it or are they ready for it? Do they give credit to God for it? These people do. Other things that happened over there. The bugs that you don't see that tear up your legs. You thought we all had a great time. Sunburn and bad bugs, okay? It was terrible. Don't go. No, really. No. Definitely those going on. But I guess just to reiterate, if you're arguing with God about going, you'll lose. So just give in and listen to what God will have you do and get ready to be blessed. That's enough out of me.
The reason that I go to the Dominican, and I tell people this before we go, is I expect that God wants to do something in my heart. And so I look for that when I go. And this year was no exception. I spent all 5 days in a village, a Haitian village, Village 14. And when we got there, we found out that the housing that they live in are block buildings with concrete roofs. And over time, some of those roofs had deteriorated to the point where they had to be removed and wood-framed roofs put in place with covered with tin. The prior group had already done a couple of those, so we had to put some furring strips and tin on some roofs that were still okay. And then the villagers, knowing that we were coming, decided that they needed to have new doors as well. So they tore off all their doors and threw them away. They were in pretty bad shape. So we had to build doors. Well, there were a total of about 16 door openings that we had to frame around and then build doors for out of treated lumber. And each housing unit had probably two or more windows in there, so we had to build like shutters for those. So there was 30 some of those. Well, in the beginning of the week, with a group of that averaged probably 15 people the whole week, I just thought there was no way that we're going to get this work done. But we got started, and things were progressing along, but even as of Thursday, I didn't think we were going to get it done. And God's love prevailed in that scenario, and we got them done. But on Thursday morning, I think it was, Rick Wader, who is the new director for MGM, told one of the pastors that was in our group that was going out there, he said, you know, sometime today, gather the villagers around and point to the roofs and tell them that this is God's love. And so that kind of triggered some thinking to me about my love and about human love in general and how oftentimes human love is flawed love. It has attachments to it. It has, you know, conditions to it, and how when we are pursuing an absolutely surrendered relationship with the Lord, that He wants that flawed love. He wants the good things in our lives, not just the baggage that we carry. We take that to the cross and leave it there, but He wants the good stuff. He wants everything in our lives. And then when we surrender that, and that's what I did, I surrendered my love, my flawed love, to God, and that allowed me to be a cleaner channel through which God's love can pour through. And so on Friday, I got to know some of the villagers because we worked on their homes, which was a little bit unusual for a lot of the work that we had done down there. But I got to know some of the villagers, and La Maria, who I got to know a little bit, I went to where she lived and her casa, which is house, and I told her, Deus te amo, which is God bless you. And then I pointed, put my hand on the door that we had made and put in her, where she lives, and I said, Deus te amo, God's love. And it just dawned on me that here's a piece of wood that, and it's not a token of God's love, it's not a symbol of God's love, but it is God's love. And it's kind of a freeing feeling when I knew that it wasn't my love that was going down there, but it was God's love. And it's just it's like kind of like the feeling that you get when you're debt-free, when you've worked so long, you're now debt-free, you're out of debt, and it's just a great feeling. And also, any one of you who participated either in prayer or in giving money, you are in that channel. You're part of that channel of God's love. So God's love started here in our hearts, and it went all the way down in the Dominican. It was poured out, and it took the shape, in my case, of a piece of treated wood that was a door and a window and some roofing that was on there. That was and is God's love. And then finally, I met a man down there from North Carolina, an older man. He was 72 years old, and he and his wife had come down the prior week, so he was there for 2 weeks. It was his first time there. And at one point, we talked a little bit, and he said, I wished I'd have known about this 10 years ago.
I actually struggled about going down. I wasn't sure. I got a real big push from Pastor Steve, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord said that you know, I had no choice. I went down, and I was the only one out of the group that did VBS. And I'll tell you, what a blessing. I got to witness these kids sing songs. I didn't understand what they were singing, but we got to experience, you know, different skits with the kids. I was in a skit, and I learned that they hate Oreos. They'd rather feed the pigs Oreos than they would rather eat them. But there was one little girl, she was probably, I don't know, maybe a year old. She was eating them and coloring. She was just absolutely filthy, covered in Oreos, markers. And we were getting ready for, you know, to do some, you know, snack time and praise. And we turned around, and the mother had the little girl giving her a bath in the bucket just out in the middle of the open. It was just absolutely humbling because we know that we have so much and they have so little. And they're so thankful for everything that they have. And yet, here we are. There's a lot of times we want more, more, more. And yet, down there, they live, they have dirt floors. Some have, I saw a fence that was held together with, or a gate with flip-flops that were their hinges. And it was just absolutely amazing. And I got to witness in VBS about 8 kids give their hearts to Jesus at the end of one of the skits. And it was just, it blew me away. I mean, and at the end of the week, after spending time with VBS, I got to go spend some time in basketball, and I was baptized in the prayer garden, and it just rounded out the entire trip. If you get a chance, don't hesitate. I know the cost is a little much, and I thank those that helped me get there, but if you get a chance, go. Don't fight it. You'll meet some amazing people. You'll get to see God's work in way more ways that you'd ever imagine. You get to see little, you know, not just the kids, but, you know, some of these older people, like on Sunday when we went to church, we listened to Pastor Steve Dave talk, and there was an elderly woman sitting at the end of our pew, and she would just grab everybody, hug them and kiss them and thank them for being there and just, you know, praise God, and the services were just absolutely on fire. These people down there love the Lord, and they are so thankful that they can, you know, share their love with us for being there. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. It's just absolutely one word, wow. I mean, it just purely amazing, wow. So, I mean, just pray about it. If you get a chance, go. Don't hesitate.
So my name changed from Steve to Dave while I was in the Dominican. The Pastor Rick accidentally introduced me wrong when he was saying I was going to preach the next day at the church. And then these guys just kept it going. They just called me Dave all week. They actually confused the translator on Sunday morning in church. I introduced myself to the church as Steve, and then they all went, "Hi, Dave." And the translator was, "Wait, oh, I'm sorry, Dave. No, you got it right." I turned it around on them on the way home. I said, maybe it's because I met God there. It's a Saul Paul kind of thing. I got a name change. We'll see about that. I got a chance to do basketball ministry a bunch of the week. Got to work with a bunch of the guys from our group throughout the week. And, you know, the downside on the basketball ministry is we don't get to see the same kids throughout the week because we just moved to different places and did basketball clinics. But the cool thing in it was it helped us in our travel time to all those places build really good relationships with our translators. And it was an awesome opportunity to get to know those guys and what God's doing in their lives and how he's using them down there. And we're actually working on getting a bunch of them to come up and visit for a while. So hopefully later in the fall you guys will get to meet some of them. That would be a really neat experience for them, I think. But the first day we were on basketball, Henry Borger, he was running the basketball camp. He's the football coach here in Warren. I had to go to Dominican to meet a guy from Warren. But he comes over to me and goes, "Hey, we're going to gather the group together in about 10 minutes. Can you do the gospel presentation?" I'm like, sure. I can wing it. And we gathered around with the kids, and we just tried to tie fundamentals of basketball and fundamentals of life and how God's working and how basketball is a lot like life. And we gave a gospel presentation at the first place. And we got six guys came forward and prayed with us. And then later in the afternoon, we went to another place. And I did it again. And there was a big crowd. And we said, "Would you raise your hand if you prayed that prayer?" And about, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 people raised their hand. And we said, "We'd like you guys to come down here out of the bleachers so we can circle around and pray for you guys." And when we asked them to come down, the bleachers emptied and all 60 people that were there came down and we just got to circle around them and pray with them and for them. And it was just really cool to see how open and searching they are. They're looking for something in their lives. But at the same time, they've learned the ability to be content. They have so much less than us, but they're happy. And they have fun and they have friends and they hang out. And if they have a relationship with God, they give the glory to God. And so it just kind of changed my perspective on some of those things. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from it was a challenge from Jim McDonald on daily devotions and giving a really distraction-free, devoted time to God every morning. And I think I've been on a number of trips. This is the first one where I've come back and felt that there's going to actually be a lasting change. And it's not just this cool week that I spent down in the Dominican, but that it actually can affect the rest of my life. And I'm looking forward to an opportunity to go back. Hopefully a bunch of you guys come with us.
Hi. This was my first time in the Dominican. One thing that really stood out to me while I was there was how energetically everyone worshiped God. We went to a church on Sunday, and then we went to a church almost every night before bed. We would come back, we would socialize, and then go to bed. But while we were there, everyone worshiped God so energetically. They just had fun when they worshiped him. And at one church, they call it the Cowboy Church. We sang "When the Saints Go Marching In," and we actually marched around the church while we sang. It probably went on for 20 minutes, and it was just so much fun. we all worked up a sweat worshiping God, and it's just not something to see here. Here we just sit in our seats, we listen to the message, we will sing the hymn, or we'll sing to the band, but we never really get into worship. And that was just one awesome thing that I saw down there, and if you get the chance, go, you'll really enjoy it.
He dominated the pig. He dominated the pig.
You want to go, Max? You want to go work around? This way I can't refute anything you say. I wanted to share with you a couple things. One is it was an amazing trip. And talk a little bit about the trip, just some of my impressions of the trip, and talk a little bit about, and I said, about my personal experience with God in my journey of my life through Christ. First of all, the trip was amazing. We made some great friends. Made some great friends here that I didn't know as well. Made great friends with the people down there. Made great friends with people in surrounding churches who we never knew were there, who all joined together for a very spiritual trip. It's amazing to see what these people have set up down there, what Jim McDonald has done and all his believers have done to build this ministry that, you know, when I went down, kind of at a back into it, I was in a bad place. I'll start here. You know, I grew up, I thought I was a Christian. I always thought of myself as a Christian. I grew up in a Catholic church. I was an altar boy. I went to catechism every Wednesday night. Went to, got confirmed. I looked at myself as a Christian, but I never realized what I was truly missing was a personal relationship with Christ. So when this came up, Pastor Doug had asked about the mission trip with an interest if Max would be interested in going. And Max has done several mission trips, a couple in Nicaragua and different ones around the country, including the Pittsburgh Project. And he's been always been very spiritual. And I've always admired him for that. So, excuse me. When Pastor Doug talked about it with Max, and I talked to Max about it, and he was very excited to do this, and which I thought was a little strange because it's the middle of basketball season, Jim. It's region time. They're playing regions, you know, and he's got to be there, and he's a significant member of his basketball team. But he said, you know, this is more important. Sorry. So, I also was impressed with his coach. I talked to his coach, happened to stand at another tournament we were at, and talking about it. And he said, no, I understand. Just give me a slip. I don't know. I know he wants to do this. That's a good thing. So, I was very, very impressed with his coach and the team that wanted to support him. And at this time, I was in a bad place. My job had just been eliminated. Didn't know what I was going to do. And at the time, I felt sorry for myself. You know, it's all about me, right? Why did this happen? I did a good job. I was doing a good job at work. Work was progressing. I didn't understand it. And that was a lot of my focus. So Max had this opportunity, and he was very excited about it. And I wasn't doing anything else. And luckily, I'd had enough saved away that we could afford it. Max started pressuring me to go. And Pastor Doug said, you know, this would be a good opportunity. So hey, let's look at it. January in Dominican, it's going to be in the 80s, it's going to be sunny, we're going to down play some basketball, we're going to do some construction projects. Yeah, okay, I could see myself doing that, right? So, you know, we signed up to go for the trip. And that's kind of how I look at it. I grew up, I was an Eagle Scout, I liked helping people, that was all about, you know, I was in a bad place, maybe that would help me. And I also knew that it was a good time that maybe this was a message I need to revalue my life, what I was focused on. So we were down there and had a great time. Jim's morning devotions were phenomenal. I mean, really, he talks to you. I mean, I felt like he came down the aisle and stood in front of me and was talking to me about your relationship with Christ and what it means to you and your family and what it means to your salvation. And I listened to him, and I really wanted to believe. You know, this went on for a couple days. And, I knew, consciously I knew I wanted to make the decision to commit my life to Christ. And I realized what I'd been missing was this personal relationship with Christ. And as Steve talked about, you know, his talk about morning devotion and that one-on-one time where you're doing nothing else but talking to Christ and developing that relationship, and I realized I didn't have that in my life. And I actually, one day, we went to basketball ministry, I think, and came back a little early, and we're waiting, and I went up to read a book. Jim had written a book about the ministry down there, and I bought a couple copies of it and had him in for one of each of my boys. I got Max one and Saul one and Elliot one because I thought it was inspirational. And I went up to read it, and Jim was sitting up on top in the upper room and reading, and I went and talked to him. And I kind of said, you know, consciously I want to do this, but it's just I don't feel it in my heart yet. I don't understand. I feel like I need to really feel it. And we talked about it, and his life is very interesting, and his coming to Christ happened when he was just about my age. He was in his early 50s. And I'm like, what drove that for you? And he said, God took me to a place I just couldn't stand. He took me to a place that I knew I couldn't live at, and I had to change. So I did. And I read, and we went on. And the next day, Pastor Rick took over morning devotions. And he started talking about his life. He introduced himself. And, boy, his background was a lot like mine. And it started clicking, and it started hitting. And I think, along with a lot of prayer from others supporting me, you know, it hit me that night. I went out the next morning on the back patio by myself. There was down in the kitchen area. There's a lot of the morning devotion people down there reading, writing their devotion books. I went on the back patio, just got on my knees and prayed and asked the Lord to give me some direction and let me know what to do. And we went through services, and a little while later, after the services, I went back up to my room, and I think Max, it was Friday morning, Max had been up there. He'd been out with the medical mission trip, I think, that morning. We got talking about this, and he looked at me and said, Dad, are you a Christian? And I said, I don't know, I think so. He said, well, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I said, I hope so. And we got talking about it, and I said, I want to go talk to Pastor Rick more. What he said in the last two mornings has really, really come home to me, and I want to talk to him about it. Because how he's saying, what his message, how he's delivering it, appeals to me. And I've been playing basketball, and I was kind of sweaty and stuff. I think I'm going to go shower, and then I'm going to crack him down. And Max's like, huh, let's go. Let's find it. His room's over here. We went. He wasn't there. Well, let's go downstairs. He dragged me downstairs. And we went up, found Rick downstairs, and I said, I really want to talk to you. And then we went up to the upper room and sat and prayed. And I knew at that moment that's what I wanted to do, that I wanted to believe in Christ. And I turned my life over to him. And that's what I did. And I think I'm very thankful not only for Pastor Doug, for Max, for Pastor Rick, the entire team for supporting me the whole way. And it's kind of an emotional thing for me, if you can't tell. Prepared. After that, you know, they said, we're doing a baptism. We'd like to be baptized. And I'm like, well, I was baptized, but in the Catholic tradition, as a baby, not really receiving Christ. So I had the opportunity to go swimming with with Jake. And you can feel the immediate difference. You really could. I think now one of the things I've been working on the morning devotions and reading the Bible, and one of the things I didn't understand about Christ and his work until reading earlier this week, maybe it was prepare for this little conversation we're having up here today, but it was in Romans 5:3, and it states that we boast in our suffering. We boast in our suffering because that gives us endurance. And with endurance, we develop character. And with character, we develop hope. And we've learned that with Christ, anything is possible as long as you have hope. So I had a good trip. And it really changed my life. It changed my perspective on my life. And I realized you know, I agree. I wish I had known this 10 years ago, even though I didn't. And it took me this long to get in this place. Again, I talked with Kate. My only regret for this trip, I wish I could have brought my whole family. And there were a lot of families down there. There were kids down there from fifth graders up to senior citizens. All of them with a fruit that they were... Oh. Very, very, very able senior citizens. Young seniors. But my message I wanted to say is that it's possible for anybody to contribute in the trip. It's possible to enjoy the trip. And what happens, and Pastor Doug said this when I got back, or no, he said this before I went down there, is you get more out of it than you put into it. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I'm building outhouses out in a cane field somewhere, but he was right. And then when I came back and we talked about it, and we talked about our journey, and he said, yeah, God got you. And he did. I also hope that sometime in the near future that we'll all hear Pastor Steve Dave's sermon on sticky, persistent, and... What was it? What? Unfair. Oh, yeah, unfair. On his version of God's word for us. So, anyway, I thank you. I'm sorry. I'm sure I went over time. Sorry. I'm sure I did. But thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up and testify in front of you. And I surely encourage everybody, if you can find a way, to make this happen. Because it's a great way to serve not only the Haitian people who are wonderful, loving, to sit in some of these churches. When I think about, you know, hope, and I think about Christ's life for us, and see what they have, as some of the Jake alluded to, and Steve alluded to, and Bryce alluded to, but their spirit and their hope is so phenomenal compared to what we have and the opportunity we have around us that they don't even have. They can't even see. Some of these villages, you're out there, miles and miles of cane fields. That's all you see. And these kids have this love and this hope. It's truly amazing. So I did learn one thing that I thought was great. The real Pastor Dave from Greenville, hope all know him as Mopar Dave, and if you drive a Chevy, he'll have a debate with you. But he was talking about his church, and one of the things they do is they try to start saving up for the trip every year. When he comes back, he talks to guys and says, you know, it's always tough at the end of the year to make that up. And one of the things that I know I'd like to do is start with my family, is start putting some money aside and setting up so that when it comes to that time, it's not, oh, it's just more than I can afford. Even though I did find out it's partially at least tax deductible, which this time of year is on everybody's mind. And I thought, oh, that's a plus I didn't realize. It's one of those blessings that you don't see coming that it's like, wow. So anyway, I would really encourage everybody to do that. I know Jim, Kester, and his family that have been down there because Jimmy Donald asked me about you, how you're doing, and how's basketball going. And I told him how your team was doing and that you were improving them. But there's just so much to gain from the trip. There really is. For me personally, maybe it was more than most of you, but I didn't know that going in. So, thanks.
Let's rejoice. When something like this happens, the angels in heaven rejoice. And in case any of you missed it, Clay got saved.
All right. I've been on multiple mission trips. I've done all different kinds. I know God's called me for missions, so every time I get an opportunity to go on one, I take it. I knew my dad was going through a tough time, and Doug, I know, was talking to him, so I encouraged him to go with us. And I know one thing is you go into the mindset that you're going to go there and you're going to give more than you take out of it. Like, you really do. You really think you're going to help them more than they can help you. And that's the complete wrong mindset. God just has a way of working, and he'll really open your eyes to things that you've never seen before. This mission trip and the entire thing in general, and just how it's set up with the morning devotions through You're there with everyone from all around the area. Like, I've become really good friends with a lot of people that I still keep in contact today with. I love it. I switched between basketball and medical. Medical, I was a runner, so I helped people get to where they were going. It was very amazing to just see how grateful they were for what you could give them, even though we couldn't even give them that much. Like, we couldn't really help them. Like, we could only ease the pain for so long. We couldn't obviously do surgery on the spot or anything. And then basketball is great. It's a very a one-man team mindset. I got to play with our interpreters who are very good. And it's like, I'm standing here wide open. I'm open. You can pass me the ball, but they take on 1v5 the entire team, and they wonder why we lose. But just the worship, the Cowboy Church. It's called Cowboy Church because it's literally in the middle of a cane field with barely any lights. They just got lights, right? We had to go through like 3 rivers, 3 creek beds, just dirt roads. And if you don't know, we ride in the back of a cattle truck. So like we're standing up holding on, and just there's 20 bodies just colliding with each other in the back of the truck. So it's not exactly the most enjoyable ride. But like Bryce said, we did that. Saints go marching in for 20 minutes. We're just marching around the church, clapping. It was amazing. It's like if we did that here in America, you think Jesus came back or something. I mean, but it's how all of them worship. Like, it's not just one church. It's every church we went to that entire week. That's how they all worship. They all got into the music. They all sang loud. They clapped everything. They danced. It was just spectacular to watch. I got to know, like I said, I got to know so many people. I know it was very interesting because I was just watching and listening to like the morning devotions and everything, and it was just like everything that was happening, just like all the opportunities and everything that Jim was talking on was just like, I just saw it going straight to my dad. It was just like, why am I here? Like, is this all to my dad? And Jim McDonald, he came in one morning and he said, I was praying this morning, God told me that someone here is going to be saved today, right now. So I'm going to count to 3. And if you feel like that's you, raise your hand. So he counts down, 1, 2, 3. And I thought my dad would raise his hand, but he didn't. It was on Wednesday. And some girl from St. Mary's, one of Bryce's good friends, a dancing girl, she raised her hand, she got saved, and it was amazing to watch. In case you didn't know, Bryce is planning on the experience he learned from there. He's going to start up his own dance worship team. Because we'd be sitting in our room about 10:30, it's like, wait a second, where's Bryce at? Sorry, Doug. but... Shoot, where was I going? So I was just waiting for my dad, and Thursday night, I know my dad went out Thursday with the construction team, and, you know, being kind of old, you get tired after working a lot. So he went to bed early, and he skipped evening worship. And we had 2 brothers from Louisiana who really got into the worship, who did a great job every morning, every night. Yeah, yeah. And they did a great job with the music. It was very easy to get into it in the upper room. And it was just there. We were in the middle of a couple songs, and they just said, use this time to pray and get down on your knee. And so I got down on my knees in my chair, and I was just praying. I'm like, all right, God, you did your part. I'll do my part now. And so the next day, I went out medical. My dad went out with basketball, and it was only a half day. So when we came, I was already back and showered, and that's when my dad came in. I'm just, all right, God, this is what you want me to do. And so then that's when I asked him, are you a Christian? And confronted him. He's like, you die right now, would you go to heaven? And all that good stuff, you know. And that's whenever it would lead on to him being saved. And you just can't go into a mission trip expecting that. It's like you're going to take more out of it than you expect. And I truly believe if you call yourself a Christian and you really believe you are one, you need to experience a mission trip. It doesn't have to be this one, but this would be a great place to start. What they have set up there, it's truly wonderful. And I was very blessed to go and get to meet all these guys and be a part of everything that happened. And I just can only thank God for that.
Just one last thing. First, thank you to Clay and Max for the plug for the Young at Heart ministry here at the church. all right. Just wanted to take a minute to just say thank you guys for praying for us, for supporting us through prayer, through financial, just for getting us there and for praying us through it and praying us back. I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you.
We're going to have part two of this next week. You needed to hear. You're good. I'm always amazed. It's one of my privileges that I get to experience being part of the body of Christ is that God doesn't just speak through me. God just spoke through the team members. And just blessed to see how God worked. I'll talk to the guys later about 10:30 at night, not knowing where my son was. But you need to know. I said to Jana after I was struggling with the idea of not being close to my son for that week, I said, look, I trust these guys. next week we're going to pick up on that theme. We'll get out of the published schedule for the sermon series. That's okay. God has his own schedule. Pick up what that means to be salt and light. And because the reality is God calls us to go. We have a response. Acts 1:8 says we have a responsibility to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And it's not an issue of either or. God will call us to each of those places. And our Jerusalem is right here. But God gives us the opportunities to go to the ends of the earth. And at the heart of who we are as a church, it's about taking the message of Christ not only to our own community, but taking it to the ends of the earth. And I just want to encourage you just to be open to what God would have you do. Just be faithful where you are and being representing him. But also, I remember when Jeff called me, I was on a prayer retreat, and Jeff called me at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, Jeff never calls me, let alone at 10 o'clock at night. Sorry, that didn't sound right. Jeff never calls me on my cell phone late at night. So I just said, I better answer this. And he just said, you know, this morning when you were preaching, you said, I sense there's someone here that God has been speaking to, that there's something you need to do. And I can't remember the exact conversation, but he told me I was that guy and just said, you know, I already talked to the team and I'm all set. I'm going to be going on the team this year again. And it just incredible to see how God worked in that. And I just want to encourage you, Jeff's example of being faithful. If God speaks to you, go. He'll provide. He'll take care of the details, and he'll do a lot more than you expect. But I'm going to close in prayer. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come and close us. Will you pray with me as the musicians come? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for what we just heard. Lord, we thank you for the work, way that you worked in each of the team members, that they went to the Dominican this year. Lord, we give you praise. We do celebrate, as Dallas shared. We celebrate with the angels in heaven. For Clay's decision to follow you. And Lord, we thank you for using Max and using the team and using each of the individuals that were there to do that work in Clay's life. But Lord, we thank you for the way that you used each of these team members to be a blessing to others. And Lord, I just pray that as we end the service, Lord, just that your spirit would be free to continue to speak to our hearts, that we would hear from you, and that we would go out into this week, Lord, with an excitement and enthusiasm. Lord, for you. And Lord, we heard a lot this morning about enthusiasm and worship. And Lord, I just pray that today as we close the service, that we would just have our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, and that we would worship you from our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.